Euthanasia is a controversial issue and its legislation has been debated in parliaments around the world, New Zealand being the most recent. But with contradicting statements being thrown around, what's really at the heart of this issue? Hear both sides of what the debate has to say when The Wire's Georgina McKay reports.
A vote to implement a referendum on an assisted dying bill passed its final reading in New Zealand Parliament in Wellington yesterday. After 2 years of debate, the 69-51 vote win means New Zealanders will go to the polls during the 2020 election to vote whether they want to legalise euthanasia. Response to the decision to host a referendum has been mixed, with both sides vocalising their opinions, both in public and online forums. David Kassane is Chair of Palliative Medicine Research at the University of Notre Dame, Australia. He says he's opposed to the bill as it has vulnerability risks for patients.
There are a number of people in the community who are keen to exercise personal choice, autonomy over the timing of their death. And I think when it comes to legislation permitting that, the challenge that's there for society is between two imperfect situations, really. One is where some people want that autonomous choice, but it may be very hard to make it safe, make it able to protect the vulnerable. And the other is a choice to trust medicine and allow medicine to manage and support people well. And you may have a sense that medicine doesn't always do that, and that leads some in the community to fear palliative care and to think that if they could be in control, they'd prefer to be in control of their timing of their own dying.
If the referendum does show public support for the bill, what impact do you think it will have on New Zealand, either medically or socially?
Well, my own view is that this legislation is dangerous for the vulnerable in the community. One patient was concerned with pain, and because it was difficult, asked about VAD. And so the VAD paperwork started to be filled out, and the person's pain was, in that sense, oversighted. The individual went and got a second opinion and found that they could be rotated to a different type of painkiller and that their pain was then well controlled. And in hindsight, that person was surprised that the first physician that they were seeing didn't, in fact, fix their pain that way. A second case has been a person who was approaching their dying and thought about VAD. And children had flown in from another country to be present. And in the lead up to it, the specialist who'd been involved with the special opinions needed for VAD received an email from the patient's spouse expressing concern that the children were coercing the parent into getting on with it because they were visiting from other countries and wanted to return to their countries of origin. So these are the kind of subtle, difficult areas that impact on quality of life, apply pressure to people, and create vulnerabilities.
Lindy Wilmot is a professor of law at Queensland University of Technology. She has a more hopeful outlook for the referendum.
People do have strongly felt views, and some of those views are based in strongly held beliefs or values that they have about the importance of not ending your life as they would regard it prematurely, whereas others would vehemently believe that they should have the right to choose the timing of their death. But I do hope that it will be a civil debate, and I guess we can turn to, as a guide, how this was debated in Parliament. One other thing that I would add is that I really do think it's important for the debate to be based on fact. And the fact is there is a lot of evidence about how voluntary assisted dying regimes are actually operating in practice around the world. And it's really important to really challenge statements that are made to make sure that they are based in reliable evidence.
If the referendum does show public support for the bill, what impact do you think it will have on New Zealand, either medically or socially?
Socially, if it is made lawful, this is something that patients can discuss with their families as having another end-of-life option. Medically, I certainly hope that it does become an available option and there are sufficient health professionals who would be prepared to assist individuals if they choose that end-of-life option. This is only likely to be an option in a very small percentage of cases, and the mainstream medical avenues including palliative care, will continue to be the most important. And it's really important that palliative care does continue to be financed adequately, because that is the major go-to form of medical treatment at the end of life.
Lindy Wilmot, Professor of Law at Queensland University of Technology, ending that report from The Wire's Georgina McKay.